By the way, Tennis-a-palooza in the studio today.
It's on both screens?
Jason's got French Open on two different screens.
I only put it on the one on the right. The one on the left was already on.
How is it possible it's on two screens?
Tennis Channel and ESPN.
They're both having live coverage.
Or is that TNT? I can't quite tell.
No, TNT on the right.
Yeah, TNT definitely has coverage.
I think this is ESPN.
No, that's TNT.
I don't know.
So you know,
it says must be on a delay.
It says TNT on the left.
Yeah, it must be on a delay.
I don't know.
Or maybe it's on two different networks. You know,
it's on a bunch of networks.
CBS,
it's also on
TNT.
HBO somehow.
Is it?
Our poll yesterday, do you care about the French Open? 85% were no.
Well, I don't care about, doubles. But if there's a big singles match, I definitely.
Anyway, I just noticed it. We've been doing the show for an hour and a half. I just noticed both TVs. I think Cakes just noticed it.
It's a lot of red clay.
It's a lot of clay.
Yeah. JP always takes glee in taking shots that he plays in real life.
What do you mean?
He's taking glee in people that tennis isn't popular. He takes glee in taking shots at golf all the time. But he plays tennis and golf.
Right.
He's a tough guy to figure out.
What do you care?
I just would like to understand you.
I'm just pointing out the reality.
Everyone knows tennis isn't popular in America. We haven't had a Grand Slam champion in like two decades.
Tennis is very niche-y.
Probably Andy Roddick is probably the last one, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even know.
He was relatively nubs.
We got excited for TFO when we had a shot. We had excited for TFO.
So we're talking about the Nationals. Ken Rosenthal wrote this article about them becoming a bottom feeder. He actually prefaced it by saying, hey, here are the bottom feeders that come to mind. The Rockies, the Pirates, the White Sox, the Marlins. But then he pointed out.
He said, don't sleep on the Nats.
Here's where the Nats are. They're third in the majors in losses since they won the World Series. And they might have actually tied the Pirates. Did the Pirates win last night? Because they were one loss behind the Pirates.
They did win last night.
Yeah, so they're even with the Pirates. They're second. Mm-hmm. Moving up the rankings, and that's not a good ranking to be. So we want to hear from you. I actually just put up a poll of the day. Jason asked me why I was looking for a third choice. Our Surfside poll of the day. Surfside iced tea and vodka, Surfside lemonade and vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can's only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety 8-packs, your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. The poll is, who deserves the blame? Is it the ownership? Is it Mike Rizzo? And then Jason gave me a third option. Is it the evil Scott Boras?
Well, you asked for a third option. That was the only one I could come up with.
I mean, I'm not going to blame an agent for a team failing to come to agreement with his clients.
I was kind of kidding. Yeah. I was kidding.
Kind of a tough one to blame.
It is kind of his fault because we lost a bunch of his clients. The only one we kept, we probably should have got rid of.
Strauss?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's bang out some of these calls. 800-636-1067. Where do you stand on it? It is kind of frustrating. I'm still more frustrated in the Wizards than I am the Nats. But, man, especially when you start to think about the Boras clients that are on this roster that you're kind of banking on, it could get you into a kind of a funk. It could get you into the depression
sure.
pretty quickly.
You can vote
out.
At Junks Radio or call
what
us.
What would you do?
800-636-1067.
If the Holiday kid, let's just say, and I know he's not the unanimous number one, but let's just say that he was, and he's a Boras client.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be a factor in my mind.
You still have to take him.
You still have to take him even though you know
player?
You're only going to get a three or four year run with him at the big leagues?
No, how about sign the right guys? Like, that's on the organization. The organization is screwed up.
I'm not sure
up.
You can do
I
that.
I can't just put it on Boras.
No, it's not that it's Boras.
It's a combination.
Listen, Boras is going to take his guys to free agency to get the best offer, and you can't always anticipate or necessarily beat the best offer. Mm. You can't always do that. It's kind of out of your control.
It's not out of your control. Sometimes you can be the best offer.
Yeah, but not necessarily. You can't anticipate. You can't anticipate that Juan Soto would later get $750 million. And that your $440 million offer is going to fall $300 million short.
I get it. But sometimes you got to pay the piper to retain
it's
your
fine
players.
To pay. It's fine to pay. And they should pay. You should pay to retain great players. But he's just, his method, 9 times out of 10, is take them to the free agency and put the team in a pickle and get such an offer.
But you can't refuse it.
He's doing right by his clients. That's why his
I agree.
Pay him the money.
Hey, I agree.
Other teams have figured it out.
But man, it puts you in a tough spot.
Well, other teams have figured it out, and this isn't a tiny market.
How many teams like, retain that's the thing. Morris clients? Not that many.
This is not a tiny market.
They've I agree
been
with that.
A top 10 salary team for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like you should... And then they just tapped out of that.
Well, because they
knew and you were... sound like you just would be an owner that would tap out. Like, I'm just not going to deal with Boris. You like, can't tap out. He's like, got the top dogs.
I would maybe draft different players.
I'm sorry.
I might.
But the Nats, they should be spending way more money than a team like the Reds. I mean, the Reds, they're dead equal.
Where are the
payroll.
Reds? Are they?
I mean, the Nats are listed on the spot track list at 22nd, and then the Reds are 23rd with basically okay. $113 million each.
And you said the Royals are above them.
Royals are spending $119, $6 million more
than
the Nats.
I'm kind of okay with saving money when you know you're going to be sorry. I'm kind of okay with it.
So they're
well, you're going to be sorry. It's chicken or egg, right? You're going to be sorry because you're not spending money.
I agree. There's some. Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that.
There's a correlation there.
But also, the idea is they're waiting for the young players to arrive, and then you sprinkle in with the free agents.
Yeah, but if you keep whiffing on first-round picks.
Well, that you can't do that. That hurts. All right, let's go to Charlie in Arlington. Charlie, what's up?
Yeah, there's three ways to get the players. You get it through free agency, through trades, or the draft. And on free agency, I don't hold that against Rizzo. They haven't let him spend money, and that's not on him. It, as far as trades, he has, like, absolutely stolen players from other teams. He has won trades, the San Diego, both the trades with San Diego, even some of the lesser ones. He's been great at trading capital and getting great return. But the draft is where they've whipped. And, you know, that's the whole organization. He's not the only one picking the players, but – ultimately, you know, he's the guy that oversees the scouting and the operations.
Well, that's why he fired everybody.
Yeah.
And well, they've gone through a couple regimes there, but they just have not drafted well enough to rebuild faster. That's what it boils down to.
Right. All right. Thank you. I think that's fair.
I mean, I can't argue with that.
I think that's fair, Charlie.
And hopefully that gets better from last year, which the 2024 draft looks pretty good. Just based on the numbers, and then hopefully this year, having the number one pick, they got a hit on that guy. Whether it's going to be Holiday or the kid from Florida State, the pitcher Jamie Arnold, I think is his name. Whoever they take, got a hit on him.
You got to give the fans credit though, because they've done a decent job of still showing up. Right? What are they?
I think they're averaging around 26,000.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all.
I think they had 37,000 at one of the home games this past weekend against the Giants.
Yeah,
a lot. 37,000.
Let's go to Greg in Upper Marlboro. Greg, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Greg.
I think it's a couple of different factors. When we won the championship, we never got to capitalize on winning the championship because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The learners are in real estate. They lost a lot of money during that time period.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's where the penny pinching began during that time period.
Yep.
Which also helped magnified by the draft, not drafting as well, without the benefit of having that capital, this has kind of been what it was. Now, Rizzo has made great trades. However, trades are not going to carry the situation because even in those years, he was always able to go out and supplement with a free agent or two coming in. That's how we got Max and Worth and those other guys. These are all free agents. So, again, I think it's a combination of three different things. And, again, we just in this pattern until eventually I think he's going to eventually sell the team. So,
Maybe that's the ultimate conclusion. Right. And I'm not going to give the learners a pass just for COVID for losing money. Everybody lost money. I'm not talking about just baseball teams. Everybody was losing money during those years. Your guys sitting here included.
Yeah.
So
true.
Let's not just say
their outside income was critically affected.
Okay, well, so was yours, and so was mine.
Oh, I know.
So
I know.
800-636-1067.
Bottom line, it affects business.
Yeah. Danny tweets us. I'd blame Strasburg and Corbin. It's unrealistic for ownership to retain every star player. If those two had been remotely close to living up to their salaries in the post World Series years, it would be different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this. If James Wood keeps on this trajectory and he's a homegrown kid and he's your franchise cornerstone, and then he just goes off and signs with the Mets or the Dodgers or the Yankees, That's going to be a pretty dark day for this franchise.
I think it's going to happen
if they've cultivated him for all these years.
I would have to bet on it happening. I mean, if you had to put money on it, where would you put your money? You based put it on the 10% they keep him?
I don't know what I would
bet. Bad bet.
I mean, the smarter money is that he probably wouldn't be retained.
Right.
He'd probably sign elsewhere.
Some players, look, he's making, what, $800,000 this year?
Yeah, he's making a pittance.
Some players will sign early deals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ruiz did it. K.B. Ruiz signed an 8-year, what was it, about 60?
I think he got 50.
50 million.
Million.
Didn't Acuna sign a relatively team-friendly deal a few years back?
He's getting like $17 million a year.
Yeah.
And it kind of depends on who the agents are, but would you have a problem, even though you've got Wood for another 3-4 years, whatever, before arbitration?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I totally would give him
Would you give him, I don't know, $300 million?
Oh, I don't know, $300 million, but I would probably give him a bunch.
If he has
to keep him.
Hold on. If he has big years in the next two in the pre-arbitration years, because you go for pre-arbitration, then you go to arbitration. Mm-hmm. If he's got two more big years, why not give him like $300 million? He'll be, 24 years old?
Show me where to sign. Show me where to sign.
Now, maybe he doesn't take it because maybe he feels like, well, I'm a $600 million player.
Right, he could when think. I'm sure Boris is telling him that.
But we don't know. I mean, James Wood and his family might say, we don't want to wait another 5 years.
Right.
Just take the money now.
He's so nonchalant and so unfazed by everything. He might actually be a candidate.
To do that?
To do that.
He might.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem like he really cares about, like,
mm-hmm.
the looks and being a star.
And being, oh, he doesn't
You
care
know what
that.
I mean? He doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
It's the last thing he cares about.
He's not like Bryce, with a purple bat or a pink bat. You know what I mean? Always making it all about him.
I can have a gender reveal bat for James Wood.
He's not doing that. Just not doing that.
Hey, you know what's not a great look, though? Patrick Corbin pitching well for the Texas Rangers.
What's he doing?
He's got a 3.7 ERA. It was like 3.2 earlier in the season. I mean, Patrick Corbin, you couldn't count on him to go two innings here in D.C. for year after year after year. He finally leaves, gets with a different pitching staff and coaches, and he turns into a more than accomplished pitcher.
That's weird. I don't get it.
That is crazy. 3.75 ERA right now.
Yeah,
3-3
you would have killed for that.
I mean, his ERA is from 21 through 24 here in D.C. 5.8, 6.3, 5.2, 5.6.
To me, that's coaching.
Maybe.
I mean, fixing mechanical issues. Yeah.
Maybe. Let's see if it continues.
Maybe.
Let's see if it continues.
I mean, the Rangers pitching staff.
We're 2 months in.
The Rangers pitching staff overall, I mean, he's getting supported by three legit arms. I mean, they have like three legit number one pitchers because.
Well, Corbin's not being supported by them when he goes
on the mound.
Well,
kind of, because when he was here, he was basically the number one until Gore got here. And you could argue Gore versus Corbin, but Corbin was the guy who in the lineup you'd probably say, oh, he's their number one or number two. Down in Texas, he's not. He's not even close.
Yeah, but so it shouldn't affect how he pitches, though, right?
I'm not saying he's not a better he's probably getting coached up. I'm just saying that there was more pressure on him here to win games.
But
and he didn't have the lineup and the support, especially the pitching staff.
We were told that Patrick Corbin was the problem. He's clearly an MLB pitcher. And he wasn't he wasn't here. He was embarrassing.
All right, let's go to Zach.
Maybe there are other reasons, but yeah, I agree.
Zach in Fairfax. What's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, sure.
I definitely blame the Learners because they obviously don't want to spend the money that they have to get players. But, this problem is endemic throughout baseball. You got these teams that refuse to spend any money on talent, on players. There's no floor to what they don't have to spend. And there's no cap. I mean, you look at the rich teams. They're constant. Steve Cohen has millions and millions and millions of dollars, and he can shell it out for Juan Soto, and then the Learners don't have anything. They're not even going to try. There's no floor in Major League Baseball. How are they able to, compete if they're not forced to?
I mean, it's a good question that you posit.
Yeah,
if they don't have to spend a certain amount of money, if there's no, salary cap floor that you have to hit, they don't have to spend any money if they don't want to.
That they do have the money. The Learners have the money. They don't have to necessarily.
I think they're just more. There are more voices in the room that we realize, besides just Mark Lerner. There's a bunch of family members in there, and who knows how many of those want to sell the franchise and who doesn't.
Oh, there's definitely a rift there.
I think there's got to be.
Yeah.
And there could be family members that want to spend more money on the players, and maybe Mark says no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. It is frustrating. The years are starting to stack up. Rizzo doesn't seem particularly pressured by it. I know it destroys him every time they lose.
No, Rosenthal pointed out that it seems like Rizzo and Martinez are comfortable. They've been here for so long.
Yeah, but you've been in the box with them. I mean, he lives and breathes with every pitch. He's not happy with the losing.
I mean, comfortable in their position. Yeah. Like they're not worried about being fired.
Right. I know we got to go break. Can I just do one more thought on the coaching? Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I just had to call in and say Drab was totally right. It's the coaching, man. They do weird lineups all the time. The pitching, they come in and be great pitchers, and they turn around and be flubs later on. I mean, baseball is the one sport that coaches get overlooked oftentimes, or managers get overlooked over time, and you don't realize how bad they are. They got to fix the coaching.
Who's their pitching coach right now? Does the name jump out?
I'd have to look it up.
I remember the ones in years past. I don't know who it is right now. I mean, there are some pitching coaches who just have ridiculous resumes. Right?
Jim Hickey.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I remember when we had Maddox's brother. Like, he was a silly pitching.
He's been there. Hickey's been here a few years, right?
Yeah.
He was.
Ironically,
here.
Maddox is the Rangers pitching coach.
He's the one who's doing wonders with him. He's supposed to be a very good one. I don't know.
Coming up next, what's dirtier than your toilet that you find in your bathroom?